Well, welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 5 of Leviticus, and we're going to pick up with verse 14. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, If a soul commits a trespass and sins through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, with thy estimation by shekels of silver, after the shekel of the sanctuary for a trespass offering.
In this particular verse, actually, when we get into the next verse, it'll help bring some insight. But if a person unintentionally sinned by defiling the Lord's sacred property, they were to bring a ram without physical defects. And then it says that this ram was to be estimated, and obviously this would be the priest's position, to find out its worth in silver, determining how much the ram is actually worth. And obviously this is the tabernacle or the sanctuary standard. Now, I think last time we were together, I said I wasn't real sure about that, but just I was looking at that today, and it just opened up very clear to me what this is all about. You value. Go ahead and read the next verse.
And he shall make amends for the harm that he has done in the holy thing, and shall add the fifth part thereto, and give it unto the priest, and the priest shall make an atonement for him with the ram of the trespass offering, and it shall be forgiven him.
So the priest estimates what the value of the ram is. Then the person has to give 20%. In other words, you take the value of that ram and add 20% to that value. The fifth part, 20%. Mm-hmm. And so you're actually given the ram plus 20% more for any damage that was done to the Lord's property. I tell you, it's amazing to me how disrespectful people are to the Lord's property. It's pretty amazing.
I was just thinking about how the Lord holds us accountable, not just for how we treat His property, but we're going to find out how we treat other people's property. In this day and age that we're in, it seems like there's not much accountability. People aren't willing to take responsibility and accountability for things, and that's contrary to what the Lord is telling us here in His Word, because there's a principle embedded in this.
Right. Something else to think about with this offering. Unless that 20% is added, then it's not acceptable. Mm-hmm. It takes the ram and the 20% and in order to make that an acceptable offering to the Lord.
Yeah, that's good. In verse 17, and if a soul sins and commits any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, yet he is guilty and shall bear his iniquity.
So if a person, note this, he's sinning, commits something against the commandments of the Lord, even unintentionally, he's still guilty and he's accountable for his sin. Now, in going through this, we're talking about sin offering, we're talking about trespass offering, and we seem to be going back and forth with this. And so I just asked the Lord, what's the difference? A trespass offering, you're trespassing against the Lord. Well, sins, that's a trespass against the Lord, and you sin against the Lord. And all of a sudden, this just dropped on the inside of me, is that the trespass is the act of sin. the sin is the result of the trespass. You with me? Does that make sense to you? And so they're both dealing with sin. You follow me? Mm-hmm. That's why we're going back and forth. He says trespass offering. He says sin offering. The sin was there. In other words, when he gave the law, when God gave the law, then a violation of that is sin. Whether you knew it or you didn't know it, it's still sin. Right?
Yes.
And so it's not like you're willfully sinning and rebelling, but because that's already set out there, then you've trespassed. And because you've trespassed, then you have to give this offering in order to have that sin forgiven.
That's good.
Is that understandable? Okay.
Trespass is the act of sin. And sin,
trespass is what you do. It's the act.
The act. And then the sin is the result.
Sin is the result of that act. Okay?
Which makes sense because we know through the definition of sin that's missing the mark. You've missed the mark. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Okay, very good. Verse 18. And he shall bring a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his ignorance, wherein he erred and wist it not, and it shall be forgiven him. It is a trespass offering. He has certainly trespassed against the Lord.
So he's violated a commandment of the Lord. Now, understand that we're not talking about just 10 commandments.
Yeah.
We're talking about the whole commands of the Lord, all the law of Moses. If he violates a command, something that the Lord said, then he's guilty of sin, and so he has to bring this trespass offering, in this case, a ram from his flock without physical defect. And here again, this was to be appraised and offered as a trespass offering. And so by following the procedure, the priest make an atonement for the offender who ignorantly violated the commandment of the Lord. But later on, he's made aware that he's violated. And once he's made aware that he's violated, now he has to bring his trespass offering for the violation. Then he's forgiven. And so this was God's protocol, if you will, for the trespass offering.
And you notice when we were reading through this, this fifth chapter here, that we're dealing with people that ignorantly sin without realizing at the time that they've trespassed. We can't find an offering for a willful sin. If you've willfully sinned against the Lord, then you are cut off.
Yeah, that's rebellion.
Yes.
That's rebellion. You know that God has said this, and it's like you said, I don't care what God says, I'm going to do this. No, that's rebellion. You understand? It's not even a temptation, it's a rebellion. And that's when you've been cut off, was due to rebellion.
You know, you think about the seriousness of rebelling against the Lord. And I had a conversation with a person just a couple of days ago where commands were given and there was just a willful rebellion. And sometimes we try to sugarcoat things. Well, you know, we just didn't choose wisely, or this seemed to be a good option. But if the Lord has spoken something to your heart, and He's told you to do something, and you flat out choose not to do it, that's rebellion. And we need to call it the way it is. You realize that you have rebelled against the Lord. That's a hard pill to swallow when you think about it. If your heart's for the Lord, boy, that's going to hurt. That's going to cut deep, isn't it? It should. To be fair with you, it really should. But everything we've read about in this fifth chapter is sinning through ignorance, unintentionally sinning. And when it's brought to your attention, then you need to make it right. You know, you think about just the principle of that. If we've done a wrong and that's been brought to our attention, we need to make a right. We need to make it right. If we know that a brother has something against us, we need to leave our gift at the altar, go make it right, and then come back to the altar, right? So there's tremendous principle in this, and we need to be held accountable for our actions.
Let me look at something here. Michaela, if you would, how about opening up Isaiah 53:5 in the interlinear? See if my memory's correct. He was wounded. He was bruised for our transgressions, right? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. Now, I want you to see transgressions and iniquities. But let's look at those two words.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Rebellion.
Because if my memory is correct, I think that you're going to find that it's our sin acts and our rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the first one?
Transgressions.
What's the definition? Rebellion.
Revolt. Mm-hmm.
Isn't that amazing that Jesus died for our rebellion? He was wounded for our rebellion.
Mm-hmm.
He was bruised. What does that say? Iniquities. What's the definition?
Perversity.
What's perversity? It's doing the opposite, right? It's doing the opposite. If you pervert something, then you've taken the right thing and turned it into a wrong thing. Okay? And so Jesus was crucified. He was beaten. He was wounded for our rebellion. He was bruised. We're talking about the beating that he went through, okay? For our perversity. And that whipping that would bring peace between God and man was upon him. And the marks left on him as a result of that provides healing for us. The King James, with his stripes we're healed. Does that make sense to you?
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it so interesting how, you know, I was rebellious in a time in my life, growing up in church and then getting out of church, knowing what's right but not wanting to do what's right. That's rebellion, okay? But Jesus died for that. He took the punishment for that so that I could get forgiveness for that rather than cut me off. This is a better covenant that we have,
right,
established on better promises. Mm-hmm. Now, that doesn't mean you test the Lord.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you just sin and ask forgiveness later. You follow me? It just simply means that God is a merciful God,
mm-hmm,
who made provision to where the rebellious, if they would repent and turn to the Lord, they could be saved. That's the beauty of God.
Yes. Amen. Very good.
Okay.
Yes, sir. Chapter 6?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This lists the protocol for burnt offerings, grain offerings, and sin offerings. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, if a soul sins and commits a trespass against the Lord, and lies unto his neighbor, in that which was delivered him to keep or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or has deceived his neighbor, or has found that which was lost and lies concerning it and swears falsely, in any of all these that a man doeth, sinning therein, then it shall be, because he has sinned and is guilty, that he shall restore that which he took violently away, or the thing which he hath deceitfully gotten, or that which was delivered him to keep, or the lost thing which he found, or all that about which he hath sworn falsely, he shall even restore it in the principal, and shall add the fifth part more thereto, and give it unto him to whom it appertaineth in the day of his trespass offering.
You know, when you look at this, they sinned against the Lord, and I believe it would have been correct if you would just say simply they sinned against the Lord by doing these following things. Wow. Lying to their neighbor regarding a pledge. Guilty of robbery. Guilty of deception. Found something that was lost and lied about it. Or swore to something that was false, not true. Now, according to God, all these are infractions of sin. And when you sin against someone, you're sinning against the Lord. I want you to think about it. The Lord calls that sin. That's why he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, all your strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And when you love God, you love your neighbor, you fulfilled the law. You understand? And so these infractions then were sin according to God. And one who was caught with this, had to make restitution plus pay an additional 20% for anything that the offender had taken. 20% interest, you know, that's
significant.
It's not just, well, make restitution. No, you make restitution, and then we're going to put interest on it.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a 20% interest on that, if you want to view it that way, okay? But I think we're careless with the way we treat other people. Maybe we don't steal, but maybe we deceive. Or swear to something that's not true. They call that perjury in the court of law, right? And so we need to be cautious as to how we deal with people, interact with people. Because how you're treating people is how you're treating God. And so we need to ask ourselves, would I treat the Lord like that? Would I talk to the Lord that way? Pretty sobering when you think about it. And I'll tell you what it'll do. If you'll think about it, it will hold you in check. And that will prevent you from doing unwise things. Okay?
There are many times we'll talk or we'll say, I'm a child of God. I belong to the Lord. I'm a daughter of the King. I'm a son of the King. But the person standing in front of you or the person down the street may be also. But even if they're not, even if they haven't accepted Jesus, that person is a creation of God. And so when we look at people that way, and we have such a love for the Lord, we don't want to mishandle what He's created. And to be fair with you, as followers of Christ, we should be the example, setting the example, because we should be imitating the Lord and treating people the way the Lord would want us to treat people. And what's sad is you hear about these things, and maybe, you know, of course, not robbery or things like that, but dealing deceitfully with people, even in the church family. And that just should not be so. It can happen, which is idle talk. That should not be so in the family of God. Verse 6, "And he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord, a ram without blemish out of the flock with thy estimation for a trespass offering unto the priest." See, you know, it costs you something. And Pat mentioned this the other night when we were together. If you erred and sinned against the Lord, it physically cost you something. That's staggering, and we thank the Lord that Jesus has fulfilled this law for us. But that the fact that we can be so frivolous, to me, I read this and it makes me stop and think. How am I treating people? How am I treating the house of God? How am I treating the people of God? So let me keep going here. Did I read all of 7? No. "And the priest shall make an atonement for him before the Lord, and it shall be forgiven him for anything of all that he hath done in trespassing therein."
If you follow this, if you're paying attention, you're saying all these things are dealing with a ram. Bring a ram, have the ram appraised, estimated at its worth, in every one of these things. Have you noticed that? And then what do? You're adding that interest. You're paying that 20% in addition to the restoration, right? The restitution.
"And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Command Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the law of the burnt offering. It is the burnt offering because of the burning upon the altar all night unto morning, and the fire of the altar shall be burning in it."
Something else you need to pay attention to, the things we're going through right now, is what God is telling Moses to tell Aaron to do. And so Aaron is not even doing this yet. And he will not be in a position to do that until after Moses does the initial offerings and consecrations and anointing. And we'll see that as we go along before Aaron is eligible to do that, he or his sons. And so it says, "The Lord told Moses, tell Aaron." You follow me? And so Moses has the responsibility of teaching the priest the proper protocol for every one of these sacrifices that they're to make. This is how it's to be done. You follow God's instructions. God's given the instructions to Moses. Moses gives the instructions to them, just like God gave Moses the instruction on how to build the tabernacle. Moses had to convey to the people doing the hands-on working, making these things, to where it would be done exactly like God wanted it done. Well, the same thing holds true right here. Okay? So God's dealing with Moses at this point in time that we're studying right now. God is talking to Moses. This is what I want done. Now, one of the things is the fire is not to go out on the altar. It's a perpetual fire. The priests are responsible for that fire burning all the time. Now, if you're an evangelist, you can take that and run with it, okay? Don't ever let the fire go out, and the preacher's responsible for keeping the coals stirred up to keep the fire burning, right?
Just to add to that, here's what I see in that, is serving the Lord is not a part-time job.
Yeah.
It is a full-time, you dedicate your heart day and night. You lay down your life for them.
Absolutely.
Verse 10.
You don't take time off from serving the Lord.
That sounds simple, doesn't it? But how many people do? How many people do in their heart?
Most.
I'm going to just get me some me time here. No. What I'm learning is that if I lean into the Lord and keep myself submitted to Him, He takes care of everything for me. He takes care of the rest that I need. He knows exactly what I need when I need it, and He provides so beautifully. So you keep that fire burning all night. Verse 10. And the priest shall put on his linen garment, and his linen breeches shall he put upon his flesh, and take up the ashes which the fire hath consumed with the burnt offering on the altar, and he shall put them beside the altar. And he shall put off his garments, and put on other garments, and carry forth the ashes without the camp unto a clean place.
Now, to me, this is extremely interesting, because it sounds like a menial task, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But this priest has to be properly clothed. And what I see in this is any time the priest or approaching the altar of the Lord in any way, as it's all part of ministering to the Lord, then they have to be properly clothed. Thank God for our clothing of righteousness through Jesus Christ, you understand?
Yeah.
But even taking the ashes out of the altar, what are they doing? That altar is set apart for God. And so that's part of the ministry, you understand? It's not just the burning, the sacrifice, but it's maintaining the altar. And in the maintenance of the things of God, you have to be properly attired. You keep your heart right with the Lord. In this case, they're doing naturally what you and I do spiritually. Okay?
Verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offerings. The fire shall ever be burning upon the altar. It shall never go out.
So the fire is not to go out, just to burn continually. There again, I mean, there's ways you can preach that, right? The fire's never to go out. You think about this as we yield our bodies to the Lord. So the sacrifices that you and I make to the Lord, the fruit of our lips giving thanks, whatever, raising our hands in praise and adoration to God, then your body is in one respect the altar that you're yielding the sacrifices on, right? Mm-hmm. That you're presenting to the Lord. We should never let the fire go out. The inner man should always be burning for the Lord, a zeal for the Lord, if you will, on the inside of us, to where the inward man is affecting this altar. It's keeping this outward man hot for the Lord, you understand, to where it's ready to sacrifice day or night for the Lord. Do you follow me?
You think about, we hear and people talk about with marriage, you have to keep the fire burning with your marriage, with your husband, your spouse. Keep that kindled. Well, in the same aspect, I think about, okay, if we do that naturally with our spouse, how do we do that? By spending time with them, right? By focusing, giving attention to. It's the same thing with the Lord, keeping that spiritual fire burning within our hearts. It's when you spend time with the one you love, the more time you spend with them, the more you fall in love with them, generally speaking.
You think about what Romans 12:1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Don't ever let that fire go out. You keep that sacrifice to the Lord at all times. And so it's not that we'll sacrifice on Sunday or we'll sacrifice in a particular day or whatever event. But our lives are to be a living sacrifice to the Lord, so the fire should always be burning.
And this shouldn't be a tedious task. If your heart's for the Lord, it's going to be out of desire anyway. That's what he's looking for. Verse 14. And this is the law of the meat offering and grain offering. The sons of Aaron shall offer it before the Lord before the altar. And he shall take of it his handful of the flour of the meat offering and of the oil thereof and all the frankincense which is upon the meat offering and shall burn it upon the altar for a sweet savor, even the memorial of it unto the Lord. And the remainder thereof shall Aaron and his sons eat with unleavened bread, shall it be eaten in the holy place, in the court of the tabernacle of the congregation. They shall eat it. It shall not be baked with leaven. I have given it unto them for their portion of my offerings made by fire. It is most holy, as is the sin offering and as the trespass offering.
So this is some pretty detailed instructions. Notice here again that God is telling Moses to teach Aaron and his sons the proper protocol for presenting the grain offering, okay? So the priest is to take a handful of flour that's properly mixed with oil, probably olive oil, and frankincense, and then burn this on the brass altar as a memorial to the Lord. And then the remainder of that grain offering was then given to the priest, and the priest was to eat that in a sacred place. In other words, he's not to take it out of the tabernacle setting, but there's a designated place that he's to eat that. It's called sanctified or sacred place there by the tabernacle of the congregation. And so he says this cannot be baked with leavened bread. It has to be unleavened. The Lord gave it to Aaron and his sons as their portion of this grain offering. And it was a burnt offering presented to the Lord. Remember the handful. As a sin offering. And all of the male descendants of Aaron were allowed to eat it. And the statute was for every generation of Aaron's descendants. Now note, it's for Aaron's descendants. That just simply means it's for the priest. The priest were, the holy things offered like that were the priest. Not all the tribe of Levi, but for the priest. Okay? And so, that's to continue in every generation. And if anyone, it says, touched this offering, they had to be set apart or anointed as priests. Do you understand? He's just reiterating the fact that only the priests are to be eating of this offering.
Very good. Thank you. Verse 19. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, this is the offering of Aaron and of his sons, which they shall offer unto the Lord in the day when he is anointed, the tenth part of an ephod of fine flour, for a meat offering, perpetual, half of it in the morning and half thereof at night. In a pan it shall be made with oil, and when it is baked, thou shalt bring it in, and the bacon pieces of the meat offering shalt thou offer for a sweet savor unto the Lord. And the priest of his sons that is anointed in his stead shall offer it. It is a statute forever unto the Lord. It shall be wholly burnt. For every meat offering for the priest shall be wholly burnt. It shall not be eaten.
Now I want you to see this in these verses. No one was exempt from giving to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And so he singles this out. If the grain offering that Aaron and his descendants, in other words, if the priest offer a grain offering to the Lord, then it's presented when the high priest was anointed and set apart for service. One-tenth of an ephah of flour burned on the brass altar. Half of it is to be burned in the morning, the other half in the evening. And the flour was to be mixed with oil and put in a pan, and this offering was to be broken into pieces and offered as a pleasant aroma to the Lord. And the one who was anointed as high priest was to offer to the Lord. It was to be completely burned, because this, when the high priest, when he's presenting this to the Lord, he's not to eat of this. Now see, when the common people present it, the priest would eat of it. When the priest is presenting this to high priest, it's not to be eaten. It's totally given over to the Lord. In other words, he's not benefiting from himself. Did you follow me?
Yes.
Okay, time's up. We're going to have to stop here.
Okay.